You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on this Thursday. Don't forget Dog Pound. Black Friday is coming up. You can visit the Cleveland Browns Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium on Black Friday. Get your free Cleveland Browns drawstring bag with every $150 purchase. Cleveland Browns Pro Shop Black Friday hours are 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. We got one call. We got a lot of tweets to talk about as well. So let's go to the phones first, Matt, and then we'll get into what you and I think are the answers to our Ohio Business Machine's hot topic questions today.
You got it, bro. Let's go to our guy Chip in Youngstown, and he's reacting to that interview we had just heard from the quarterback coach, Kevin O'Connell.
Hi, guys.
Good, man. How are you?
What's up, Chip?
Listen, the first guy I'm getting out of town is that guy.
Why?
When I turned on the radio, I thought we were listening to the New England quarterback coach or the Green Bay quarterback coach. He's gushing like the guy, like we haven't lost the last two games by 21. He's talking. These guys blow my mind. They're gushing over a kid that ain't done nothing.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I can't see the guy in the interview, but it seemed like he had a big smile on his face the whole time.
And I'm sure he did. And in some cases,
he's an affable man, but I think he's very proud of it. I think he should, if and Matt, maybe you can help with this.
Sure.
But as a player, if you were preparing for the Browns and you went and you watched the game that he played against Cincinnati last year, talking about Johnny Manziel, and then you watched the game that he played against Pittsburgh last week, how staggering of a difference is there to you?
A big difference, staggering difference, as you called it, staggering. And a lot of the reason why, not, I don't want to say one Bengals game versus the next, but I'll say if you want to compare the way he played against the Bengals last year and the way he played against the Pittsburgh Steelers this past Sunday, to me is a staggering difference. And I think a lot of the reason is because defenses know how to prepare for Johnny Manziel. They've got to change coverages, roll coverages, give him a lot of pre-snap looks, and then roll to something else. And if possible, via their defensive scheme up front, contain or shrink that pocket around Johnny Manziel with those ends getting up the field initially and then closing in on him, trying to create a vice grip on Johnny Manziel to not allow him to roll over the back shoulder or to scramble out to his right side and continue to look down the field confidently and hope his wide receivers, you know, work with him and find those voids in the zone. So that the template to contain Johnny Manziel is out there. And I think what I saw in Pittsburgh was Johnny Manziel's ability to go, that's fine, I'm cool, after understanding my shortcomings and watching tape from last year's Bengals game, the Thursday night Bengals game. I'm comfortable here because I'm on the same page with my receivers. I'm on the same page with my offensive coordinator that I can make these throws from this pocket, and I trust those linemen in this setting to protect me. And I think we've seen that step being taken in 1 week to the next.
Absolutely, and I think that's what – listen, and Kevin O'Connell, you know this too. I mean, what a coach isn't going to go out there and slam his quarterback, and I think he's very pleased, honestly, with the progress that has been made by Johnny Manziel, and I'm sure he takes a lot of pride in it because he's had a lot to do with it.
He has.
He's done a great job. Josh McCown's had a lot to do with it. But those guys have done a great job in helping Johnny Manziel take a big, big step forward here
in the second year.
Again, is he the answer? We have no idea.
Right.
No idea.
Kevin O'Connell is a first-year head football coach. He's got how easy would Kevin O'Connell's job be, or how much clout would Kevin O'Connell had if he took a job as the quarterback coach of the Packers or of the Patriots or of the Steelers? You're going to have Big Ben and Brady and Rodgers putting Kevin O'Connell in his place. So I think what we're hearing from Kevin O'Connell is just an optimistic look about young coach latching on to young player and seeing some viable headway being gained. And to the caller's point, I did hear the elation in the progress that we've seen out of Johnny, which the elation should come when it's winning football games, you know. And that's where you read through. And I'm sure that Kevin O'Connell was probably excited that Johnny Manziel had been named the starter. And a lot of both Kevin O'Connell's pre-draft work and the work that he's done with Johnny Manziel up to this point as a Cleveland Browns football coach. He's excited to see that product on the field and his hard work and the extra hours and time that he spends specifically with Johnny Manziel finally out there on the field. And as I mentioned, optimistic about what he's going to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I took away from that as well. You said it.
We got a bunch of tweets. Let's get Dino involved. He's got a bunch of tweets ready for us.
Yeah, we put it out there earlier, wanting to know what tweaks to the starting lineup would you make and what is the number one priority to fix during the bye week. And you all responded on Twitter at Browns_daily. From Joe Kovacs at @ValleyJoe_, he would start Ibrahim Campbell at safety and says the Browns have to fix the lack of a pass rush. That's his number one priority.
I agree. And I think the hardest part is we can't change the guys and we can't change the scheme. All we can do right now is tweak the scheme and move the players around. And what I would do, and I constantly say this, as you look around at the successful organizations, if you look at the Arizona Cardinals who run a 3-4 defense, if you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and their ability to sack Johnny Manziel, six times this past week. What are they doing? Because there's not many defenses that are just so talented that they're going to line up in that cookie cutter front and just go, we're going to tell you where we're coming from and you're not going to be able to stop it. That's not defense anymore because that's not offense. That's the evolution of offense and defense in the National Football League. The chess match that you and I always talk about, Nathan, is so how can we look around the league in our time off? We're going to both look at ourselves and evaluate ourselves as a Cleveland Browns 2-8 football team, both offensively, defensively, and special teams. But let's take, I would hope that these coaches and maybe those players that are the football junkies like you would be, Nathan, during this time off, and dive into some of the other games on Sunday that if something catches your eye, if I'm Paul Kruger, Barkevious Mingo, Nate Orchard, and they see a guy being featured and flourishing in a setting very similar to what we have here in Cleveland, that I'd come back, if you're that football guy, with a notebook that says, man, I watched so-and-so in Arizona, Okafor, and I think he's actually even hurt, but I watched Okafor get used in these different ways to success against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday night or Monday night, whenever it is they play. And if I were a coach, I'd be elated that my guy was so ingrained in football when he didn't have to be away that I would take that as a position coach. I'd go right to Jim O'Neill and I'd go right to Mike Pettine and go, hey, what about these? And they might be viable and they might not, but the fact of the matter is that to me mentally at first glance is a guy that I want on my team. Because he loves the game, and that's what we heard out of Ray Farmer. That's what we heard of Mike Pettine about the 10 draft picks. It's these are football guys. It's part of who they are. And I think that's one way that you could prove it without being a brown noser, because nobody wants to be, on a bad football team. Nobody wants to be considered a loser. Nobody wants to be unproductive. Hey, coach, I just want to throw an idea out there. I think this could work. Let's throw it on the wall, see if it sticks. Because that's the point in the season we're at right now, 2-8.
It certainly is. And for me, I want to see more of the young guys at all positions. And I want to get an opportunity to evaluate Justin Gilbert over the final six games to say, if it's not working out, let's just move on from him. You know what I mean? If he's not going to work out, let's move on.
Least,
I want to see him have an opportunity
at
to play.
Least you know.
I don't need to have Johnson Badamosi playing corner. Again, something against Johnson Badamosi, but I want to see what's the upside in that. What's it going to do? To me, I want to see what's going to happen with Charles Gaines. What's Pierre? What's going to happen with Justin Gilbert? I want those guys to all get reps. You're going to have Hayden and Tremont back and Kaywan, who's been probably the most consistent player in our secondary all year. So it's going to be tough, but I do want to see those guys. Offensively, the problem is there isn't even a young, exciting wide receiver you can trot out there to see if he can make plays.
And that's big.
There's nobody really.
That's been a huge deficiency for the last 2 years without Josh Gordon.
Absolutely. You need to find out, number one to me, if you can run the football over the final six games. And you need to let Barkevious Mingo and you need to let Nate Orchard go get after the quarterback as much as possible if you can, just to find out if they can even do it. And I don't know that they can, but we need to let – Nate Orchard was drafted because he had 18 and a half sacks. Nate Orchard wasn't drafted to be the best run stopper. It's great.
Rusher,
that's
yeah,
a bonus.
Sure, yeah.
That means that if he can become that rusher, he's going to be a phenomenal outside linebacker for you.
Right.
But I don't know if that is going to be – if that's going to happen. That's what I want to see. I think the biggest adjustment is they need to find a way to run the football. They need to figure out how to do that offensively. And then defensively, they need to figure out how to get the quarterback. And it's not blitzing. That's not the answer. They need to find guys, and maybe you just don't have them. And maybe that is the answer. You're just not going to have guys that can get to the quarterback. But I'd rather have this team at least figure out a way to run the football, stop the run, and hopefully show some progress there. And I do want to see some of these young guys. And you know, if Glenn Winston gets some handoffs, that's not a big deal to me. I do like Crow, and obviously Duke Johnson, the best of running back. But I just want to I want to gather some information the best that we can here over
data.
These final six games.
Yeah, Dino, any more
some
tweets
data.
Before we hit a break?
Some data. From Travis Wilson at TK Wilson. Tweaks, he says, simplifying coverage. Hint, hint, cover two with a single high safety. And his fix, offense line run blocking.
Yeah. I mean, Nathan, you pointed that out Monday on our show after the deep ball onslaught by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. It's we do it every Monday where we see where these running backs are getting hit. You know, it's not – you cannot have any type of sustained success as a running team if you're constantly getting hit in the backfield. Can't do it.
Can't win with him. And finally from – I apologize if I got his name. Bob Pass, I believe, at Pass Pass with an E. He says, tweak. Listen to what Paul Kruger has been saying. Play to the strengths of the team, not to the system. And he says for his fix, get Duke Johnson involved in the second half.
Yeah, it goes back to my point. You know, my big point is I want to see as much of Duke Johnson as possible, especially as we're playing for less and less as time goes on and playing for pride, if you want to say. You know, it's just very frustrating. Okay, we can't run the football. Find a way to scheme Duke Johnson the same way that Kyle Shanahan schemed everybody open last year for Brian Hoyer. Can we not scheme Duke Johnson open to get him the football? Like, I would run every – and Nathan, this is something – I mean, if I were an offensive coordinator, would you not run a bubble screen instead of to Hawkins or to Gabriel or Benjamin? Why would you not run a bubble screen to Duke Johnson? Because he can probably make that first guy miss that's bringing down our small, skinny, wide receivers. He'll make that guy miss and at least get you 3-4 yards, you know, and then has the potential to break it if he gets – because he's a running back. He's used to having his ball – the ball in his hands following his linemen.
Yes. Yes. They've just the bottom line is when you look at this team and what it was supposed to be, wouldn't it be great if for the final 6 weeks that's what it was?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I would like to see. All right. We will take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to do a little fact or fiction with our guy, Dino. When we come back here, Zagura Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.